a wonderful district, and most recently at Smithtown this past week. What a glorious time that was. And some of you, I believe, were there. Praise God. Amen. So how is everybody doing?
Good.
Good, good. You going to help me preach this morning?
Sure.
Amen. Please join me in prayer. Precious Lord, what a glorious day it is. First Sunday in Advent. As we continue to prepare our hearts to receive you afresh into our lives, come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts, into our minds, into this place, as we long for you more than ever before. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer, through Christ our Lord, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
As the pastor said, this is my second year as a district superintendent. I did have ministry here in Long Island East District for 11 years. But before that, I did start in Queens. And then sent away to... Yeah, that'd be great. Sent away to Connecticut for a time and then came back to... Thank you, Pastor. Not to put our backs to the beautiful choir members who gave music ministry. Amen. A few days ago, we had been enjoying warm weather, and then suddenly weather took a turn, correct? And now we're in the season of Advent, and we are bracing ourselves for the white stuff that comes down from heaven. But I can recall a time when the weather turned. I turned to my closet and found a coat that I hadn't worn for months, obviously, and put it on and found something or felt something in my pockets that I was very delighted about. Bundles of money that I had forgotten. Didn't know I was richer. You know, I was richer than I thought. That took me back to a memory. Years ago, I think I was in between packing, whether in between point, you know, packing or unpacking, I came across a thesaurus, a dictionary of sorts, a Greek thesaurus, and as I was thumbing through this book, I found an envelope filled with $100 bills. Crisp. No exaggeration, I was like, whoa, I'm richer than I thought. Apparently, that came from a few years ago. I guess I was at a church doing a youth retreat or revival, and I tucked it away, totally forgot that I had hundreds of dollars. Had forgotten that I was richer than I thought. This morning, the passage has been read to us from Romans chapter 8. Some people call it the golden chapter of the Bible. For those of you that are avid Bible students, know that in this chapter alone, it's a gold mine, really. It's a diamond mine of God's amazing blessings that are ours because of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're reminded, if God is for us, who can be against us? We're reminded that God the Father is for us, God the Son is for us, and God the Holy Spirit is for us. You know, we're reminded that we have a God. You know, one of the favorite verses of our bishop we learned, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God, to them who are called according to God's purpose. Amen. We have a God who is mighty and awesome, able to transform things of life into something good for our ultimate good. If I borrow the outline of one of the great teacher pastors of our time, Reverend Dr. Tim Keller, he would say from that passage that we learn that God is able to turn bad things to good, and that the good things will never be lost, and the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love that preaches. I don't know about you. You know, that stuck with me like a Velcro. I remember how our God, awesome God, is at work for us, for our good, as we put our hope, our trust in the Lord. Further in this passage, we're reminded that we have God the Son, our Lord, our Savior. Well, God the Father not only loved us, but He gave us the greatest and the best by giving us His one and only Son. Amen. If God has given us the greatest and the best, will He not also graciously give us all things? We're reminded that God has made us co-heirs. Co-heirs with Christ. What does that mean for us? Whatever Jesus has, we have. Hallelujah. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Whatever the Lord has, you and I have because of our hope, our faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know where you are this morning, but I hope you're praying for me that the words that come out of my mouth will be life and hope from the Lord to all of us. As we focus on the presence of the Lord, as we celebrate, as we have entered into this holy Advent season. Amen. We're reminded further that God the Son is for us. Not only did He give Himself up for us, not only did He live a life of perfection, perfectly lived His life of faith and love. He went to the cross willingly for our sake, for our salvation, amen. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead, and now He ascended and interceded for us at the right hand of God our Father. We're reminded that we have an intercessor in our Lord, our Savior, an advocate. Even as we worship this morning, the Lord is advocating, interceding for us on our behalf. Well, talk about wealth, talk about riches, talk about blessings, the Lord. No matter where you are this morning, do you know that God is for you? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, God has made us more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. I want us to sit on that for a moment. We're more than conquerors. You know, there are things in life that seek to defeat us. There are things in life that seek to bring us down, discourage us, hinder us, deter us from walking, enjoying in God's blessings. But God has made us through His Son more than conquerors through His through the One who loves us. Amen. And the Scripture climaxes into that passage. For there's nothing in all creation. I'm persuaded that there's nothing in all creation that will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't get to mention that God the Holy Spirit is for us. You know, we're reminded of the life in the Holy Spirit in light of what Christ has done. I can recall a time when as a young person, you know, my prayer life was like this. Dear God. And then there was a lull. But then when the Holy Spirit began to work in a powerful and personal way, as that passage reminds us, as we are sons, as we are made sons and daughters of the living God, the Spirit of God's Holy Spirit has been given to us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I can recall a shift in my prayer life from being lulled into, you know, drowsiness and then to sleep to a journey of deepening intimacy in the Lord. That Jesus is no longer a picture on a wall, but a real living person who responds to our needs and our cares and our calls and our cries. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, even with all these blessings and riches and treasures that we have, you know, we can all, at various times, and say, you know, I'm discouraged. You know, I'm disappointed. You know, I feel in the dark about certain things. You know, I feel defeated. How can we tap into? How can we reclaim the blessings and the treasures and these wonderful things we just reiterated together? And so, just like you, how do we put a knockout punch into those times of disparagement, discouragement, darkness, and defeat? So, will you bear with me? Give me a tea! Anybody had breakfast? Let's do it again. Give me a tea!
Tea!
victory over discouragement, over disappointment, over times of darkness and defeat that we often encounter. Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. The one who's coming. The one for whom we are to be alert and awake in the season of Advent to renew our hope, our faith, our joy. Amen. The author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He, as he suffered for us, he thought about each and every one of us. For the joy set before him, that's us. The joy of offering salvation to all who will come. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. You know, just because you go into a garage doesn't make you a car. You've heard that expression, right? Just because anyone comes to church, does that automatically make anyone into a follower of Christ? No. We must encounter the living Christ. Hallelujah. We must encounter the light of the world for ourselves. Not piggyback on somebody else. You know, I used to piggyback on my mom and my dad's faith. You know, growing up in the church. But there came a time. There was a turning. A turning to Christ for myself. And when we turn to Christ. And how do we do that? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Prayer in worship like this. In worship community. In service. In acts of love, out of faith, our hope, out of hope in Christ, we can encounter Christ. And as we do that, and as we take it to the Lord in prayer, whatever it is, whatever concern, whatever heartache, whatever burden that we share, that we carry, we're called to not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to God. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always and give thanks in all situations, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus concerning you. We remember. Some of us have committed all those things to memory. But sometimes when life happens, we fail to turn. Maybe some people turn to the bottle or turn to the, you know, whatever it is that the people turn to today. But we're to turn to Christ. As we turn to Christ in prayer, in faith. As we express our trust. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways. When we acknowledge Him, God makes our path straight. God keeps His promise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give me a K.
Yay.
Tell me what I'm doing.
Kneeling.
It's a physical posture that demonstrates humility. We don't necessarily bow or kneel before just anyone, amen? But as followers of Jesus Christ, we must practice and cultivate this attitude of kneeling, so to speak. Being humble, humbling ourselves before God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus described Himself. Remember the passage that I just quoted to you? You know, for I am humble and lowly in heart. Come to me. Learn from me. The Lord is looking for those who will humble themselves. You know, well, one of the verses that's been a blessing to me in recent times is Isaiah 66 verse 2. All these things my hand has made. All these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. One who is humble, contrite in spirit, and one who trembles at my word. You know, I locked in onto that phrase. This is the one to whom I will look. Meaning, God is saying, my eyes will look and rest upon those who humble themselves. I don't know about you, but I want God's eyes to rest upon me. I want God's eyes to rest upon my loved ones. I want God's eyes to rest upon the church that we all love. I want to see God's eyes resting upon the New York Annual Conference, upon the United Methodist Church, that we may be faithful to fulfill God's call upon our lives. We're reminded that there is a condition. Ones will humble themselves. Ones who will be contrite in spirit. Ones who will tremble at God's word. Humbling ourselves doesn't mean being a doormat. No. God is not looking for doormats. You know, we're esteemed by God, valued by God, so much so that God sent His one and only Son. Amen. What He's looking for is ones who will acknowledge the greatness of our God in light of who we are. Amen. And to depend upon God. It's like being poor in spirit, as Jesus described. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Ones who know their destitute state before God. Who will turn to God in dependence. And who are contrite in spirit? Ones who will acknowledge their sin and repent and be contrite before God. And we're reminded that God will not despise a broken spirit and a contrite in heart. Hallelujah. We all qualify. I qualify. Hallelujah. And so we're reminded that God is near those who are humble. Those who are lowly in spirit. Somebody might say, "But oh, that's in the Old Testament." Well, let's go to the New Testament. James 4. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God. In due time, God will raise you up. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Another way to say this, let me turn to... Poor in spirit refers not precisely to humility, but to an attitude of dependence on God and detachment from earthly supports. Another quote, pride is the cold mountain peak, sterile and bleak. Humility is the quiet valley, fertile and abounding in life. And peace lives there. Another quote from Max Lucado, with the same intensity that he hates arrogance, God loves humility. The Jesus who said, "I am gentle and humble in heart," loves those who are gentle and humble in heart. God says, "I live with people who are humble." He also says, "To this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite." And to the humble, God gives great treasures. He gives honor. He gives wisdom. He gives direction. And most significantly, God gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace each and every day. I need God's grace for ministry. I need God's grace for life. I need to see our young people experience God's grace. We need to have churches experience God's grace. Amen.
Amen.
In order to do that, we must turn to Christ. We must kneel, humble ourselves. And lastly, give me a no.
No.
Trust then.
Amen.
For there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. All of us put together, probably could write encyclopedias about how to live a life of faith. We know a lot of stuff, don't we? Having been in the church, having done Bible studies and teach lessons and sat under great preaching, pastors. But it's not enough until we obey. Amen?
Amen.
Obeying what we know, what God has called us to do. Jesus said, "This is my command, that you love one another." I wish he stopped there. But he didn't. He said, "As I have loved you." He upped the ante. Amen? He upped the ante to love like me. Imitate me in love. And what did Jesus say about love? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Rejoice when people persecute you because of me. Man, I hate that. On a bad day, if you came to me and remind me, I say, "No, I can't do that. I can't love my enemies. I can't love those who hate me." Because we love to love, amen? We love, all love to love. Love those who love us back. But Jesus upped the ante when he said, Jesus said, love. Love like me. Love your enemies. Love as I have loved you. With sacrifice. With unconditional love. Boy, that's a tough love, isn't it? But you will tell me, remind me for sure. Yes, we can. Yes, we can love like the Lord. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Another thing that we've neglected to cultivate and practice, Jesus said, before He ascended to heaven, He said, don't go anywhere, don't do anything. Wait for the gift my Father has promised. Wait for the gift. And what is that gift? The Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What power? Power to love like Jesus. Power to make disciples as Jesus commanded us to do. Power to live a holy life. Power to resist temptation. Power to make a difference. Power to be the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Power to light up the world. Holy Spirit is not for just pastors. Holy Spirit's gift is for every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So as we wait upon the Lord, as we receive all that God has promised, guess what? We're going to make a whole lot of difference out there. Hallelujah. As we do TKO, in the midst of challenges of discouragement, disappointment, darkness, defeat, fears that surround us sometimes, we can do TKO and knock it out of the ballpark. Amen.
Amen.
Have victory. Reclaim the victory that God has already won for us. For we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Will you do TKO? Pray. Not only kneel, but I forgot to mention, keep on knocking. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. I'm going backwards. Seek and you shall find. And ask and it shall be given to you. Jesus calls us to persist in prayer. Don't just stop with one prayer or second prayer or three prayers. Continue to pray. Continue to seek the Lord. And what do you pray about? From A to Z, everything. Amen. God loves us. He's concerned about us. But most importantly, as the church, I would like us to remember to pray for the ones outside of our community of faith. That we could zero in on, in our prayer life, our neighbors, our colleagues, our associates, our loved ones who have yet to know the Savior as you know. So the next time I come next year for Charge Conference, I would love to hear testimonies of people from Hicksville United Methodist Church, how you have touched lives through the grace of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And how people have been brought to faith because of your love. You've heard it said, St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. May our life light up and shine so that the world around us will be curious about the love and the hope that we have, that they'll ask for the hope and we'll be ready. Amen.
Amen.
May we be more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Amen.